This is Daf Nun Aleph. We got to five lines down from the top. The Gemara says there's a Maisa. There's once a guest visiting Rami Bar Chama, and Zavin Chamra Vita. He had sold a donkey and he made a mistake, an incorrect price. He's undersold it. So Ashkecha Dehava Atziv. So Rami Bar Chama saw that his guest was very, very sad. So Amar Leh, Amai Atziv Vita. Why are you so sad? Amar Leh, Zvini Chamra Vita. I sold a donkey and I was tricked. So Amar Leh, Zil Hadarbacha. Why? Well, so why aren't you chozer? You could, it was a Mekach Taos, it was above a 1/6. You could go back in the Bita Mekach. So Amar Leh, so he says back to Rami Bar Chama, I waited, it's been more than 15 minutes where I could have already checked with some merchant, and it was past the time, but it's too late. So Shadri Lakami to Rav Nachman, they sent a Shaila to Rav Nachman whether it's too late to be Choser. And Amar Leh, he says, Lo Shadri Elo Lokeach. This time limit of when you could be Choser only applies to the purchaser. Of a Mocher, Liom Choser, the Mocher, in this case, he was a Mocher, he's always able to go back. My time, what's the reason? Because lokeach mekhel biyado, the lokeach holds on to the merchandise, and kolheicha the azil, wherever you could go, machilai, you could show someone. Amrilai, itai lotai, did I make a mistake? I spent $20 on this scarf. Did I make a mistake or not? So that's why he has a time limit. If he waited beyond that, then he was mochel. But mocher, the lo nakin mekhel biyado, but the mocher no longer has the merchandise, he can't show it to anybody. So adim mitarmi lay zvinte. He doesn't know until he has a similar sale with a similar item. Will he know if he made a mistake or not? But he can't go around. So therefore, he has much more time and the mocher can be chozer liolam and he allowed him to go back. So there's a discussion in the Achronim. So what does that mean? So let's say he does. Let's say he goes to find a similar sale, like this item that he sold previously. Does that mean that time is up? Does liolam mean really forever, or liolam means until he has a similar sale? So some Rishonim says, no, until there's a similar sale. That's all it is. But the Rashba argues, and the Rashba says, that no, li'olam means li'olam. It means forever. And he tries to bring a rai from this Gemara here, that Rami Bar Chama, seemingly this took place well after he had a similar sale. And yet, still Rami Bar Chama and Rav Nachman Paskin, he was able to be chozer. So Rashba Paskin, they're able to be chozer li'olam. Now the Rambam argues, Rambam says no, he's only able to be chozer until he's able to find out what the market value is of this merchandise. But once he finds out, or once he has the ability to find out, then he's no longer able to be chozer, even from the mocher's perspective. There is an interesting shaila Nisivas talks about, let's say you do a kinin chalipin. Kinin chalipin works, if I pick up a handkerchief and you're going to makna over to me an object which is in your possession, I do a chalipin, I get that object now. But it's not physically my possession. Do I have that time limit now of the 15 minutes to show it? The merchandise isn't in my hand right now. So the Nesiva says it flips around now. If I do chalipin, so in this case, lokeach, I have liolam, I can chozer liolam because I don't have the merchandise. But the mocher has the 15 minutes because since he does have the mekach in his hand, he could go around and show it to people, look, this is what I have. Was it worth the price? The others argue, the Pesachei Teshuvah argues and says, no, it's always that the mocher has liolam to chozer and lokeach always only has the 15 minutes. By the way, the 15 minutes is just a created time. I don't know what the time is, obviously. It changes, but it just gives you something to work with. Fine. Gemara says, Ahu gavra, davanakit varshechi lizvune. Person was holding varshechi. Rashi says refers to bendel, some type of bracelets or some sort. And kari shisa, he was calling out, who wants to buy them for 6? Vishavya chamisha, but it's really worth 5. Vihava yavle chamisha palgan. If a guy was willing to give 5.5, have a shuk, he would take it. He didn't announce that, but that was what his thought process was. He's willing to sell for 5.5, which wouldn't be onos. 6 would be ono, because it's worth 5, so it's 1/5 above the price, it's 20%. But if it's 5.5, so that would not be a problem. That would be less than ono. So asahu gavra, v'amar, the guy came along and said, if I give the guy 5.5 for the bendels, have a mechila, then mimocha, I lose the extra half of zuz. Atein lo shisa, I'll give him 6. And v'atabe ledina, I'll take him to Bezdin, and Bezdin will make him pay that extra amount of the full one. So also the comment of the Rava. Rava says, Amarlei lo shanu ela b'lokeach min atagar. That only applies to the person who buys from a merchant. Is he able to do the returning the money? But aval, does ono apply? Aval b'lokeach mi bal habayis ein lo alav ono. When it comes to buying from a Baal Bayis, a homemade jewelry, then ona doesn't apply. Why? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Mi Baal Habayis, first narrow line down, tachshitin v'kli tashmishalo." His homemade stuff, his his garments and his jewelry. Chaviv in a lover, very, very dear to him. Ve'eino mochen el biyukar. He's only willing to sell him for a lot of money. Ve'havalei kimefarish. It's as if you are, as if you stipulated explicitly. Mefarish yodei ani sheyesh bo ona. I know ona exists. I'm overcharging. Damrin lekamen ein lo alav ona. Kach matzati b'shiltas d'rivachayim. You don't find often in the Rashi quotes from the Shiltas. But either way, he says, I'm selling, I put a lot of time and effort into making this bracelet. I know it's only worth $5, but I'm selling it to you for $6. That's no. That's as if we made a tanai that we're not going to apply tanai, ona, in this particular case. I think the way other Rishonim might say this, I don't remember seeing this inside, but there is no market value for something homemade. Something that's made and manufactured, and there's a set object, and then there's a set market value, so there's a market value. Something that I made homemade, which is unique and different, there's no price to it. Whatever price I give to it, that becomes the price. Rashi seems to say that there is a market value for such a homemade item, but I think others say there is no market value. Either way, we see from this that ona only applies to buying from a merchant, doesn't apply to buying from homemade items.
What about the Baal Bayis selling stuff that's not homemade? His own.
So then that this wouldn't apply. Then it would have the same halachas of ona. Because at least according to Rashi, the svar is chaviv and love. It's very special to him. So I think we saw this in Eilu Metzias maybe about a Metzia. Are we talking about the guy, the Aveda, the guy lost, the guy preferred one kav of his own stuff over nine kav of something else, so his own, he put the effort into all the fruit and the vegetables. So then we had the Achronim discuss, let's say he bought the stuff, he didn't grow the stuff, but he bought it, now it's his. So some say, well, he didn't have the same chavivus, so the same, it doesn't apply. I mean, if I found your lost items that you didn't work on, but that you bought, and it starts to go bad, I should sell it off and get replacement items. But others say, no. Simply the fact that you bought it, that's enough of a chavis, enough of an effort that you put in to call it your objects that you really find it very special to, even though you really didn't put your sweat into it. Then the Gemara records another Maisa, Hahu Gavra Dehava Nakit Kipe Lizune. Person had some type of bracelets that he was selling, and Kari Shishan, he was calling out it's worth 60, or rather he was selling them for 60, but Shave Chamshin, but it was only worth 50. Again, same amount, but removing the decimal point over. But if a guy gave him 55, have a shakil, he would be willing to take the 55. So also, who gave a certain person came along. If I give him 55, have a mechila, then I lose the extra 5 because I'm mochel. If it's less than a 6, I'm mochel on that. Etain lo shis, and I'll give him 60. I'll take him to bezdin. So also the kamei Rav Chista. So we went to Rav Chista, asked him the shaila. Amalei lo shanu elav lo keach me'atagar. This only applies ona, only applies to buying from a merchant. Avav lo keach me'abal bais. A homemade item, as we said above, ein lo alav ona does not exist. So Amalei, as he says, Rav Dimi Yasher, this is correct. V'chein amar Rav Yalazar Yasher, this is correct. So then the Gemara says, but wait a second. Then we see the Mishnah, the very next Mishnah, it says. But doesn't the Mishnah tell us there's a difference? Ona applies equally to the merchant and to the Baal HaBayis, to a Hedyot. Mine Hedyot, who's a Hedyot? La Baal HaBayis, a guy who makes homemade items? Rav Chista b'tzidari raisa. That's referring to tzidaraisa. Al money tashmishasei. Di yikiri aleo lo mazin le ila b'dmei yisera. Now when we said the Mishnah later on that a Hedyot has the halachas of Ona, that's referring to Tzadraisa, which is what, says Rashi. It's referring to Big Day Canvas Haomdim Limacher. A guy just selling cloth, something that he put his effort. It wasn't anything really homemade. A guy, this is really David's case of a guy, a Baal Bais, selling some merchandise. That's where we say the Ona applies to him equally. The guy selling his homemade items, money tashmishay, that came and he built on his own, the Yikari Aleh, which is so chaviv to him, that we don't say is Ona. He will only sell it for a lot of money. Okay. The new Mishnah tells us now. The Mishnah says that. Okay. Mishnah says, Echad alokach v'echad amocher, whether it's the buyer or the seller, yesh lan ona. There's ona applies to both ends, whether you're overcharging or underpaying. Kishem she'ona lehedyo kach ona letager, like we saw above, just like ona applies to a merchant, so too it applies to a regular Baal Bais, if he's selling regular merchandise. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain ona the tagger. He says there is never ona to a merchant ever, which sounds strange, but that the Rashi tells us, the Gemara will explain. Mishuta alav yad, whoever has ona, whoever is being defrauded, Yado al ha'elyona, he has the upper hand. We'll see what that means. Does that mean ratza omer lo tainli ma'osa? You could say, I want my money back. Let's return the item. I want my money back. Oh, tainli ma'ashanisi, or at least pay me the difference of the price. So the Gemara says, how do you know this to be the case? That both ona applies to the lokech and the mocher. Because the pasuk says, "V'chi simkru mimkar ala misecha." When you sell something, as a mocher's perspective, you sell al tonu. When you sell, when you're the mocher, don't defraud him. So, ainly ala shenisan lokech. I only know if the lokech was defrauded by the mocher. The mocher was doing it. Nisana mocher minayin. How do I know if the mocher was defrauded by the lokech? How do we know the iser applies to him as well? Tamalomer okana al tonu. Or if you buy, if you're the lokech, don't defraud the mocher. You need to sell to teach both perspectives. Why? If the Torah just told us that a mocher, he knows the price of things. This is what he does as for a living. So for him, we warn him, don't take advantage of someone. Lokeach, who doesn't know anything about buying and selling things, he doesn't know about merchandise prices, so maybe it shouldn't apply to him because it was unintentional. Kamash Milan, it applies to him as well. So the Torah actually brings from this Gemara here that there's a raya that the Issa Ona applies bein b'mezid bein b'shogeg, because Lokeach, we're assuming Lokeach doesn't know much about Mekach. So he still gets the Issa of Ona, even though he doesn't know. So we see that even though he's b'shogeg, the Issa Ona applies. What about the other way? V'kasir Achman, if the Torah says Lokeach mishum deka kane, dami inish zvante kanisa, maybe only the Isser Ona applies to Lokeach because he gains. The klal is when a person buys something, he gets. I mean, what good is money if you can't use it? So Lokeach used the money. He bought something. He gained. Ava mocher, davu de kamavid. But the mocher lost. He had the disadvantage. Now he has money. What's he going to do with money right now? Right now, money's worthless unless you do something with it. So right now, the mocher lost. Dami inchi. People say zavin ovid, that the seller loses out because he just gets money, but money's worthless if he can't do anything with it. So maybe from the mocher's perspective, he shouldn't have the iser ona since he's viewed as getting the disadvantage here. Tricha, that even the mocher would get the iser. So there's a discussion in Rishonim. What do you mean the mocher? He's selling because he wants money. That's not a loss. He used the money now to buy something else. So there's a big discussion how exactly to explain this line. But the Gemara here, and I think the Gemara in the Dharma as well, always views the mocher as the loser and lokeach as the winner.
Gemara Brachos says lo kumidas.
Very good. Excellent. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives and he's happy. Right. Okay. Says Gemara, Nidarm and Brachos also say this. Okay. Says the Gemara further now. Mishu to Allah Yada Al Hayon. Whoever is being defrauded, so he has the advantage. In which way? So the Gemara says that he has the right to either undo the sale, or just to take the difference of price. Oh, I'm sorry, Skip, you're right. I apologize. All right. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Ona L'Tager. So he said Ona doesn't apply to the merchant. Mishum Shehu Tager Ein La Ona. Because he's a merchant and he doesn't have the din of Ona, that doesn't make any sense. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav B'Tager Safsar Shanu. What's a Tager Safsar? So it says Rashi, where's this Rashi here? Kone Amocher M'Yad Tamin. A guy who's buying and selling often. He's doing this stuff very frequently. My time, why? Mi yada yada zvinte kama shave. Hey, Saf's a professional buyer, seller, pawn shop, we said yesterday. He guy knows how much. He looks at an item, he knows in a second how much something's worth. He knows kama shave. Vachul achle gave, and he's mochel. He's a mochel that he sold it. Vahai dezavne hach. He said, why did he sell for less than the price? Mishum disramile zvinte achrisa. Because he saw another sale was coming in, he wanted to buy it, and he needed some money. Vahashe mi akahadar bay. Now he's going to be chozer on it. So the guy said, listen, I want to, I need some extra cash now. So I'll sell this item for less than the price just to get a quick sale, because I need the extra bucks, and then use it to buy this other item that's coming in that I want to buy. So that's why he was mochel, so it comes to a professional, a pawn shop, so therefore, Ona doesn't apply to him, he's mochel on all that.
What about a case where he overcharges?
What? No, we're saying here, I think only case when the tagger is defrauded, when he himself is defrauded.
That's right. Not shot in the mission, though, is it?
I think so, because we always look at who the victim is. So I think the saying is that even the Tagar could be a victim as well. And Rebut says, no, he's not, because he's willing, he's moch. Rav Ashi Amar, my ain le Tagar Ona, what does that mean? Eino betaras Ona, shafil pachos michde Ona choser. No, he has a different rule, meaning Ona, the six doesn't apply to him. Any amount over the or really under the price would be ona and would be chozer. Because he knows every item was clearly a mistake. If he sold it at such a price, it was a mistake of some sort. So he never has a ona in that. It's a chumra for the lokayach. Tana kavasei de Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda Omer, a tager ein la ona mipnei shubaki. So it sounds like Rav Nachman Shita, the first Shita, that since he's a Baki, he's willing to be mochel on this, and he sold it for this anyways, even though he's a Baki, there's no ona, which means that he's mochel, and there's no going back. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Misha Huta Alav Yada HaYona, whoever's...
I understand, right?
Ravashi, that ona doesn't apply to him?
Yeah, it's more chamor mochel than a koni.
So look what Rashi says. You see Rashi, around halfway down the page, if he's defrauded, this is his parnasa. So for a few extra cents for him, it means a lot for him. So I guess that's right. But you could say the same about anything else. Anyone else is making a parnasa. The guy needs an item here, so this is what he needs to live.
Right. And the buyer also maybe bought it to resell.
Yeah, so. But I don't know. I guess the people buying and selling weren't so successful, so maybe they really, each cent made a difference to them, perhaps.
Are all these cases where the other person, not the person being defrauded, specifically knows what it really should cost?
No, so that's the case we said above, that even though Lokeach doesn't know what a price is, he's an amateur, but if he underpays, he still gets the Isser Ona. So even B'Shogeg, there would be an Isser Ona. That's what the Torah says.
Even against the Mocher, who supposedly is an expert in price.
Yeah. Okay, so now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Misha Huta Alav Yada Ahal Yona V'chule. Whoever was defrauded, so he has the upper hand, which again the Mishnah told us that if he wanted, he could ask for the money back and return the merchandise, or he could say, I want to hold on to the merchandise, but here, give me the money that I overpaid. So money Masnis, and who authored the Mishnah? Lo Rebbe Nasan and Lo Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. It can't be either one of them. This we saw the other day. Was it 2 days ago we saw them?
Yesterday.
Was it yesterday we saw? That was on the bottom of Lamed Beis, right? So again, just to review again, that Rabbi Nassan said that the Ona Pachs Mishtus is Kona, more than a Shtus, we say, is Batal Mekach, and the actual, exact Shtus is Kona and Yumachse Ona. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said that the Mocher, is the Yad Mocher is always Alal Yona. So he gets to decide. So let's see. So the Gemara says, E Rabbi Nassan, Masnissan, if it's authored by Rabbi Nassan, Masnissan, our Misha Katani Ratza, Ubrais lo katani ratza. In our Mishnah, he says ratza is the option. But Rabbi Nassim presented it as there's no option. There are rules. If it's less than ona, it's less than a shtus, it's final. At a shtus, you keep the sale and you return the extra. But our Mishnah says you have the option of even going back and pulling out. Rabbi Nassim never gave such an option. Our Mishnah does, so it can't be Rabbi Nassim. Any Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, if he's the author of the Mishnah, Masisin katani lokeach, Braisa katani mocher. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says the Mocher has the option, but our Mishnah says that the Lokeach, really not Lokeach, but the whoever was defrauded, it sounds like from the Lokeach's perspective, he could ask for the, hold the merchandise, or return the merchandise. It's talking from the perspective of Lokeach, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is referring to the perspective of the Mocher. So who authored our Mishnah? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ona Zu Eini Yodea, Mishnah. I don't know who taught this Mishnah. He doesn't know. But Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Liolam Rabbi Nasan, he really Rabbi Nasan. The Tana Nami Braisa Ratza. Yes, just like our Mishnah says Ratza, that he has the option, the Braisa meant to also say Ratza. It should have said Ratza, that he has the option. Not that you have to hold on to the merchandise and just get the extra money back. You can, if you want, return the merchandise if you please also. And the Braisa meant to say Ratza as well. And Rabbi Nassan is the author. Then Rav Amar, no, Liola and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He really, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi authored our Mishnah. My Deshai B'Masisin, Kamifaris B'Raisa. When the Mishnah left out, the Braisa supplemented. So the Mishnah just said from the perspective of the Mocher, if the Lokeach was defrauded, so the Braisa says the same holds true. If the Mocher was defrauded, he also has the option. Depends who was being defrauded. And Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Dekanami, our Braisa is very precise in this way, Dekatani, Echad Lokeach Vechad Mocher. So our Mishnah says, whether it be the first line of the Mishnah, whether it be the Lokeach or the Mocher, whoever is being defrauded, Ona applies. Umifarish lay, and it goes on to explain Lokeach. Shmamina, Shira, Shaira, Lemocher, Shmamina. The Mishnah didn't give the example of the Mocher. Why not? It left it out accidentally. Not accidentally, but it was left out. So the Braisa just supplemented what was left out because the Mishnah again tells us that it applies equally to the Lokeach and to the Mocher, in which case Rabbi Yehuda Nasi authored our Mishnah. Marko to Braisa, it's more well known for those who learn Makos. In Ksubas we did not too long ago. Actually, it was quite a while ago, maybe a year ago or so. So the Gemara quotes a brayso, Itamar ha'omer l'chaveiro. Guy says to his friend, Al menashe ein lecha alai ona. Let's do a deal here, but on condition that ona doesn't apply to this case. So Rav Amar yesh lo alav ona. You can't do that. There still exists ona, even though you made such a tanai. And Shmuel Amar ein lo alav ona. No, if you make a tanai, the tanai stands, and there is no ona. So lema, the Gemara says, Rav Nema lema Rav Damar Krabi Meir, Ushmol Damar Krabi Huda. So this machlokas Rav Shmuel seems to line up nicely with another machlokas Tanaim, which is what this Sani the Brisa says. Ha'omer li isha harez at mukadeshli, marry me, amnash ein lecha lai sherksus vona. On condition that there's no clothing, no food, and no ona, no tashmish, make such a Tanai, does it work? Harez and mukadeshis is a good kedushin, v'tanai batal, but the Tanai doesn't exist. You can't make such a Tanai. Divrei Rabbi Meir, you can't make a Tanai against the Torah. But just like Rabbi Meir says the Tanai doesn't work, you can't make a Tanai against the Torah, so too Rav says you can't make a Tanai on Ona. So Rav lines up nicely with Rabbi Meir. V'Yehuda Omer, B'davar Shebimamon Tanokayim. You can make a Tanai on a Davar Shebimamon. What's a Tanai? What's a Davar Shebimamon? Meaning the Kedushin works, and the Tanai works also. What does a Tanai work on? So look at the last Rashi on the page here. V'Yehuda Omer, B'davar shebemamon could go and shever k'sus, giving food and clothing. That's davar shebemamon nitein l'machila v'rei machla. That's allowed to be forgiven, and she was mochel. She's willing to get married on those conditions that she won't have that aval ona shehit tsar haguf lo nitein l'machila. But comes to ona and tashmish, holding back that's tsar haguf, that is not nitein l'machila. Now there are some yishanim who actually hold holding back ona would be considered tsar b'guf, would be considered a davar shebemamon. You can place value on that, and the tanai kaim would apply even to that as well, according to some of the rishonim.
What would be the case on something that's not, you cannot place value on it? According to those,
let's say
no.
Well, no, that's a davar shebemamon.
That's what they're saying.
A davar shebemamon. What would be the example of something that would be?
Hard to find something that if everything that is
not.
No, there is something.
I guess a kavod, maybe, or something like that.
Kavod?
No. Also, kavod
said that I will learn. I'm selling it to you, I'm going to ask that I will learn.
Right.
So you don't get
it. Okay. Really, okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So there's a machlokas, how this Tanai, how could a Tanai uproot a davar shminatorah? How could that work? So some say that it's mechila taking place. You can't. I can't oker davar shminatorah. But the fact that you're mochel, so I'm not responsible anymore. Other Yishom say, I'm allowed to. The way the Torah was written this way, by these obligations of mammon, was written only when we agree to. That's how it was formulated in the Torah, only if there's an agreement. But if you don't agree, if you don't want such obligations, then you're mochel. Not because I'm mochel, and the Tanai was set up in such a way that it's an option if we agree to having such an agreement. But the other opinion thinks, no, this is a requirement that I have. The Torah says, I must give these items, but they are allowed to be mochel. You can be mochel na davar shebetara. So the Gemara says, fine. So we see now that Rav and Shmuel about Ona line up nicely with Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir regarding this case of Kedushin. So the Gemara says, so Amr l'Harav, Rav says, who holds that there is Ona, that you can't be make a tanai on Ona. He says, Ona, Damri, I say afilu Rabbi Huda. I hold even within the world of Rabbi Huda, that Rabbi Huda says that tanai is kaim by Kedushin. Why? Because Adikan lo kamer Rabbi Huda hasam ela diyada v'kamachle. Rabbi Huda says it by the case of Kedushin because she's well aware of it and she's mochel. She knows. So she says, I'm willing to enter in such a relationship without having these items. So she's mochel. But when it comes to Ona, aval hacha, here in our case of Ona, miyada de machel, does he know that he's mochel? I mean, how do you know there's going to be Ona in this case? I'm saying, let's make a deal. I don't say the details. But the condition is coming in the beginning is there's no Ona. So I don't know if you're going to defraud me or not from the beginning. So there's no mechila to speak of. So that's why Rav says in this case, since there's no mechila to know of, the ona still exists. And Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says the opposite. Shmuel Amar, ona, damer, afilu, Rabbi Meir. I, who hold that you can be oker the ona, I agree to Rabbi Meir that you can be oker the dvarim when it comes to kedushin. Why? Because ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hasam ela devadik oker. Rabbi Meir says, by Kedushin, you cannot brood those items, Sherek says, oh no, because there you're being vada, you're vada, you're uprooting it. You can't be vada, get rid of an entire parsha from the Torah. Aval hacha miyemar de ka'akar mide, comes to ona, we haven't discussed the agreement. It may not amount to that. It's possible, the safek, whether or not there's going to be ona or not ona, once we discuss all the details. So since it's a case of safek, so then we could say, he's mocha no ona. So we see that the Rav and Shmuel don't line up with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Two different cases. So comes along Amar Rav Anan, Lididim Afarshli, Minei, it was explained to me once to Mar Shmuel that Shmuel said, Ha'omer l'chaveiro al manah she'ein l'cha alai ona, ein lo ona. Al manah she'ein bo ona, hari yesh bo ona. Depends how you formulate it. If you say that there is an ona in this case, so then that works, it just tonight works. But if you say ein bo, that ona doesn't exist in this world, that it's not a concept, that doesn't work, because it is a concept. You might not want to partake in it. So ein l'cha alai, that you can't apply ona to me, that it works okay in this agreement. But to say ein bo, that ona doesn't exist in the world, that's a fallacy, and that such a tanai would not work. So it depends how you formulate it. So Gemara now asks the question, Meisivei. Anosei v'anosein ba'amana. A guy who's dealing with making a certain agreement, ba'amana, they have a certain trust with each other. So Rashi explains what's the case here. Hanosev anosein ba'amana, around six narrow lines down, mocher b'masha tuchal, v'tein li hamal. So I give you some merchandise, you're the seller. I say, sell whatever you could sell for. V'tein li hamal, l'zman ploni. And after you sell all the merchandise, pay me back all the money that you sold it for. And v'hineni somech alecha, I'm trusting you. V'nosein lo schar tircha k'dekaman. I'm going to pay back your efforts. So here is 100 scarves. Sell them whatever price you make it. Give me the $5 a scarf. So give me the $500 after you sell them, and I'll give you $20 for the work. That's the agreement they have. So v'ha'omer, then the Brisa says ha'omer l'chaveiro amnas shein l'cha alav ona alai ona ein lo alav ona. And if you also make a condition that there's no ona in this case, so there's no ona. So this seems to support Shmuel that you can make a tanai on ona. So the Gemara says, "L'Rav damar ana damar afilu Rabbi Yehuda hamani." So according to Rav, who holds that I even hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so he thinks both tanaim, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, agree to him that you can't make a tanai on ona. So who authored this brisa here? He thinks again. Rav holds by ona that everybody agrees to him that you can't make a tanai on ona. So who authored this brisa? So comes along hamani amar abaye mechaversa. Rav Amar Kabi Meir, Vishmuel Damar Kabi Huda. So it must be, Abai says it can't be that Rav holds like both of them. Rav must line up nicely with Rabbi Meir, and Shmuel lines up nicely with Rabbi Huda. Rav holds you can never make a Tanai on a Davar Shemana Torah, and Shmuel holds you can, just like Rabbi Huda. So this Brisa must be like Rabbi Huda.
So this is, when it says Elona, is a continuation of the Hanoseh Anotem Bamana?
It's two different statements, I think. I think it's two different statements here.
It's completely two different cases.
Yeah. I think it's talking about a case...
So it's just, the first case is just part of the Bryce and it's just mentioning it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the relevance is here, the connection between the two of them, what it's teaching us, that a person can make a deal on trust. I'm not sure what the Chiddush is here. I don't know. Okay.
Even though the Gemara could have said Rav Tana who will follow, right? It could have said that. I guess it felt that once you're going to come on to that, then what's the benefit anymore of saying Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are both in line with Rav? You already found another.
Right, that's true, right.
At that point,
so. Right. I saw something recently about this Rav Tanu Palag. I'm forgetting what it is, though. Something very interesting, which I never knew before. Yeah. That we don't always say Rav Amar Vatana. We don't always say that. There's certain limitations. I forget exactly what the rule was, though. Okay. That's all Abai. So Abai says the Shitas line up very nicely. So this must be according to Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel. But Rav Amar lo kasha. No, it's not a stira. Kan b'stam, kan b'mefarsh. It depends whether you specify it or not. Meaning what? The Sani, the Brisa teaches us, b'med v'amamur, when is this true? B'stam, aval b'mefarsh, mocheh sh'amar l'lokeh, chafetz zeh, sh'ani mocheh l'cha b'masayim, yodeh ani bo, sh'eino shava elamana, amnas sh'ein l'cha alai ona, ein lo alav ona. So in the case stam, you're saying stam, you know, without creating the details, there's no oh no, that you can't do. If you say, listen, this is worth $100, but I'm selling to you for $200, and you know up front the details, and you're willing to go into that case anyways, then the lach is even Rav will agree that there's no oh no, and that's the price above where you were explicit. So according to this, all those cases about oh no prices, if you see the price and they say this is the price you're getting on it, and you're willing to buy it, that in essence seems to be a mechila. The only discussion of ona is when you sell an item without there being a price tag on it, or without there being a known deal, that I'm overpricing it for you, then it seems to be...
But it sounds like you have to not just give them the price, but also
know the value.
Really worth.
Right. So if you know what it's really worth, you go to the, you know what the market value is, and you're willing to pay the $3 for the milk because it's more convenient for you going to the kosher supermarket. That to me sounds like you. It's an implied mechila.
Saved Gourmet Glatz business.
Right. Exactly. V'chein lo keach. So to a buyer, she'amar lo mocher. This item that I'm buying, mimcha, b'mana yodea, b'mana, yodea ani bo sheshav emasayim. I know it's really worth 200, but I want to buy 100 from you for 100. So amna shein lecha alayona, ein lo alavana. So as long as you're clear up front with everything, you're not trying to play any tricks, and he's okay with it, you can be mochel. There is no iser. So that's where even Rav would agree in a case of mifarish. Okay. This next price is a bit tricky here. It gets involved in ribbis, get a little introduction to the next parak. So the Brisa says, Tanur Rabbanan Hanose Va'anosin Va'amana, person who's dealing with a guy with a certain amount of trust, which is, I give the merchandise to you, and you sell the merchandise. So, Hareze lo yechashe v'etharab v'amana v'etharyofer b'shave. You shouldn't be have this process of the ra, the bad merchandise, with trust, and the good one, the shave. Meaning, sometimes when you buy merchandise, sometimes they're going to pay for the inventory up front. So you're going to buy some shirts, you pay for the shirts up front, and then you'll sell the items. Sometimes you say, no, here's the inventory, don't pay it for me now. But after you sell everything, I trust you that you'll pay me back for the merchandise in the end. So those are two scenarios. So we say amana, amana means I trust you that you'll pay me for the inventory at the end when you make all the sales. But when you say b'shava, that means you're paying for the merchandise up front here. So right now, so one of them I'm saying, I'm buying it for you up front now, but I'm not giving you the money now, though. Even though I'm buying for you up front at the $100, you're letting me keep the $100 now, even though I owe it to you, I'm taking a loan out for you right now. So again, the case of shav is where I owe you the money now. Amana is I don't owe you until the end if I sell it. So the case is where I want to buy b'shava from you right now, but you say, hold on to the money, it's a loan for you. And at the end, when you pay back for me all the other stuff, all the trust, the other items that you're selling, which we're doing on trust, you pay me back everything all together.
What is consignment, meaning whatever he doesn't sell, can be back or no?
Let's assume he sold everything.
But let's assume he did.
So if he didn't sell, assume that he could give that back to merchandise, so I presume. Right. Yeah. So one case is where you're buying all the inventory and whatever's left, it's your surplus. And the other one is consignment, where anything that's not sold, you return back to me. You only whatever you sell is what you keep, and the rest you return back. So let's see this case now. You shouldn't do both. You can't have it split, though. You can't do half the inventory one way and the other half the inventory another way. Because that's what they explain is some level of ribbis going on here. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi might clarify this a little bit more. Rashi says, it's around 10 narrow lines up. Hareze lo yichashiv lo es hara ba'amana v'sayafe b'shave. So lios lo hamtonas maos hayafe. So the yafe is when you buy it up front in the inventory. So, but you let me hold on to the money that I owe you right now. Hamtonas maos, the paying of the money, the delaying of the paying. B'schar tircho. So that money I get to keep will be a replacement. I get to hold on to this loan now, will really be my former payment of all the tirch I have of selling that you owe me for selling your merchandise. Kigon, hayalo shnei yenos yaf two wines, two bottles of wine. Yaf sheishalav kofsin, a very nice one that people are looking after. There's a high demand for. Lacha bebasachas, people will buy it all in 1 second. Very nice. Barrels of wine. Thara sheino nimchar el bechanus, and another one that people are not going to jump on. I need to put in a chanus. I need to sell it. I need to market it. So, lo yomar lo, don't say to the guy who's selling it, who bought the items to sell now, hare lecha yafer b'shavyav. So here's the good wine for the value up front. Amana shetimchar li hara b'chanas, on condition that you sell for me the worst wine in the store, kamasha tucha, however you're able to. Uchsheyimchar, when you sell it, tein li mal shem, then pay me back all the money that you owe. So again, so for the good wine, I owe you money right now on day one. But no, hold on to that money. And when you sell the bad wine, give it all to me at the end. The $100 for this wine and the other $100 for the bad wine. Upot atzmo b'ham tanos mos, shel d'mei ha-yofer, mi'alte schar tircho al-harab have kribis. What happens is, so you really owe me money now for selling your merchandise, you owe me money for all the tircha. But the deal we make is, by giving me this loan for 6 months of the $100, letting me keep it and figuring out a way to pay it back, that will replace the money that I owe you. So now, Rashi ends up saying this is some level of ribbis. It's a loan that I'm now paying you back now the full amount plus the money of the ra. Because again, the good wine, I owe you $100 right now, but I'm not paying it to you yet. So I turn the $100 at the end to you. I'm also, it's accompanied with the bad wine which I sold, which is another $100. So I'm returning back to you $200 of the $100 loan. And since it looks like ribbis, though it's not really ribbis, for that reason, the price is not to do it.
So the case of Amana isn't really consignment, like Rick was saying. It's more a case of I'm paying the person the time that it his time to sell the item on my behalf. Whatever he sells it for, I'm getting back, and then I'm giving him something for the amount of effort that he invested in it. But it's not that he's going out and he's selling it at a higher price.
And there's no margins that he's making off this.
Right. Okay.
But the question becomes, let's say, just as a side point, what if he doesn't sell the merchandise? Any leftover inventory, seemingly he gives it back, though.
He's just a salesman.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So not to do that because it seemed like ribbis. How exactly? So that's how it is. So what should you do? Ela ozev zeh b'amana, ozev zeh b'shava. Either you sell both these items of wine at up front, pay the cost up front, or you sell both items b'amana with the trust at the end you'll pay back the sales. V'nosin lo schar kate, if you have to pay him in addition to all the schar tircha, you have to, part of the schar tircha is schar kate, of, you know, carrying it, schlepping it on his shoulders, schar gamel, having to hire camels to transport the merchandise, schar pundak, which is, I guess, staying over somewhere, and schar atzma, ino notel. But the schar himself, that the effort that he's actually putting in, that he doesn't take, shekvar nosin lo scharo mishalim. You already paid him. So Gemara says, schar mishalim mehecha kayavle. So where'd you pay him the money? You didn't pay him yet. So Amar Papa, Papa says, bitzadruye diyav arba lemeya. Says Rashi, that's the same word we saw in Amar Aleph. Bitzadruye mochre bigday canvas, the people who sell these pieces of cloth. There's a set price. Every 100 you sell, I'll give you 4 out of every 100. So we already set the price for the schar tircha. So when you take into account the end of the day how much you owe this guy, don't forget to take off the costs of the staying overnight and then the transportation costs. That also should be taken into account.
Why can't he do two separate deals? The good wine, you pay the cash, and the bad wine, he sells it.